some of y'all may know. I had gotten back from the Believers Convention, and I was pumped up, I was amped up, ready to go, but part of it was I wasn't feeling good on the way back. So again, like always, you know, you rebuke it, you use the word, and that was Thursday when I was driving back. Friday came, it was about the same thing, I was feeling better, came out here, worked, got my message together, and Saturday, I believe, was the wedding, Tracy and John's wedding, and I ended up leaving the reception a little early. And I was up all night. All night. Stomach was hurting, everything, I mean. And I didn't know what it was. Again, doing what I know to do is use the word and believing it, confessing it and believing it and receiving it and walking that out. Well, Sunday morning comes, and I remember I kind of joked with Kristen. I said, "You want to preach?" And she goes, I said, "Man, I'm just not doing well." She goes, "Is that your confession?" I was like, "No, it's not. It's not. It's not." So I got up there and preached. And we went out to eat. Went to a restaurant here. And I got done eating. And I just didn't feel well. So I paid for my meal. Paid for the meal and stuff. And went home and I crashed. That was August 8th. And I didn't get up very much throughout that week. And Kristen knows what I was going through and stuff. So you want to fill them in?
So before he got back, I had hurt my back. And I was in bed for like 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then either got Thursday or Friday, came home, and he was like, "You know you don't have to take that, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do, but my back hurts, you know." So I'm like, okay. So Saturday was my first day that I actually had gotten out of the house, came to the wedding, and it took everything I could to just sit there. Like, I couldn't drive. It was awful. So I was like, okay, I hadn't slept, all of that. So then he comes and is not feeling well, and when Tim doesn't feel well, we all know. And so I was like, okay, here we go. So I had to so he had gone to visit somebody that was quarantined. And so my thoughts are like, oh, maybe he got COVID, wasn't confessing it over him. So I had called a doctor to get the regimen that he was putting people on, which was ivermectin, Z-Pak, and then a steroid. So I called him on Monday and got that, and we had it by Wednesday. Well, those of you that know Tim, getting him to take medicine is almost impossible.
Yeah.
So Wednesday I was like, I know you don't feel well. I don't know what it is, but let's start this. And so on Wednesday I started him on that regimen. And so he literally would lay down, get up to go to the bathroom, lay down. He would eat fruit. He would eat yogurt. And that was all we could get him to eat. So it was one of those things where I was like, okay, it's Tim. Like, he'll get over it sooner or later. So anyway, so then by Saturday, it was Isaiah and Carly's gender reveal that we had out here. And I told him, I was like, you can't go around Carly. Like, we got to protect her. Like, we don't know what it is at this point in time. So he sat in his truck out here while they did the gender reveal and stuff like that. Well, we got home, and he said, I think we need to go to the doctor. And I was like, oh, because that doesn't ever happen. And so so we go to the emergency room, and, of course, the first thing they say is, well, we got to test him for COVID. And I put my radar up. I was like, because there's nothing else. There's nothing else we can be positive for, you know, and kind of had an attitude with the doctor. And so and then he's talking to me, and I don't acknowledge him because I was like, please test him for something else. But they wouldn't do anything until they tested him for COVID. So they did the quick swab, came back, came in and said, okay, he has COVID. And then, but his chest x-ray looks great. And I was like, you didn't do a chest x-ray. He's like, we did it. No. So then they went back and did a chest x-ray. And his chest x-ray was fine. And his oxygen was in the 90s when we left the hospital. And that was Saturday evening. So Sunday we quarantined because he had COVID. I stayed with him at home. We watched church late. We were both laying down watching church. And then Tuesday is when I took him to the hospital. In the morning on Tuesday, I just was watching his stomach. And he was just struggling to breathe. It was like one of those things where you're like, when you had babies, you watched for that stuff when they had RSV, that kind of stuff. But it was, and so that Tuesday morning, I took him to the hospital, and as soon as we got there, since he was COVID positive, I could not go back with him after that. And so I was kind of like, oh, wow, I wasn't expecting that. So my dad texts me. He's like, hey, how's Tim? I said, we're actually at the emergency room. They just checked him in, and they won't let me go back there. And so then his oxygen was at 65 when we got him there. And so they put him on oxygen right away, and it went straight up to the 90s. And so they admitted him.
So they had me in the PCU, progressive care unit, and I was in there. It was kind of like a hospital resort, sort of. It's huge. I had a nice view and everything else. They were trying to pump me up on that and, you know, get my hopes up on it. I said, man, you have a great view. I said, well, I got to get out and look, but, you know. But so I was doing well in there. And then for a couple of days, ended up taking a shower, all that stuff. I was able to get up and move and walk. I was able to order my own food and stuff. And, you know, and then they came in one night and told me that my oxygen level had dropped. And I thought that was weird because I wasn't gasping for air. I wasn't, you know, just losing it. I was just waiting to go to bed. And so they just kind of came in there quietly, took me to the ICU. And next thing you know, I'm on a BPAP. And a BPAP is just another type of ventilator, and it's over here blowing air into me, and I'm just, what is going on? And so they did that for an hour, and I didn't like it. Definitely didn't like that. And so they're running all sorts of stuff in me. I think remdesivir was one of the medicines that they put in me. And Pastor Charlie, actually, in November, he was talking about that because he was wanting to know what medicine I was on, because I didn't know at the time he had a few people in his that he knew that had died of that stuff. So that's what they were basically pumping in me at that time, because that was protocol. So the next day they asked me if I were to wake up dead, would I want to be put on a ventilator? And I said, he goes, well, you have two tiny holes in your lungs. And
that was like a week later.
That was a week later? Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm speeding it up a little bit. But the guy told me, he asked me if I wanted to be on it. I didn't know the protocol. I didn't know all that stuff. And I told him no. I just, something inwardly was, the Holy Spirit was telling me, no, don't get on there. So I'm in the hospital. I'm getting a lot of text messages. I'm seeing the prayer walls on our At Church app and stuff. And one of the things that my friend had sent me, Cello, had sent me, he sent me 101 healing scriptures, is what you got right here. And if you were here Wednesday night, I shared about that. I said, look at the first line. It says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, Exodus 15:26. Now, Brother Copeland is up here saying that this is off of Keith Moore's ministries. But he's talking about this. And he's like, when he gets to the first time I heard it, about the 10th one, he said, you know, repeat it. You should be saying this with me. So the next time I did it, I began saying it with him, but I couldn't even get past the first line because there was nothing coming out. I am the Lord that I couldn't even get all of that out because I didn't have any breath in me to say. So I had to sit and listen. So I sat and listened to the other 100, but it didn't stop me from believing and receiving. And you talk about one of the most trying times in my life when I couldn't confess the word of God. And that was probably my biggest struggle in the hospital when I was in the ICU, is that I couldn't confess the word of God. I couldn't do what I knew to do. But I did know that I can believe him and I can receive. And whatever I'd done, I had to act on the word. So if it was just going from getting into the bed, from the bed, to 2 feet to the chair right next to me, that's what I had to do. And then how I used to do it when fighting off sickness, so to speak, because I'm already healed. I don't ever look at myself as sick. I'm healed and I'm fighting off the sickness. I'm not trying to get healed. I'm already healed. And I began to act on that. And so when I'm around the house, I'll begin to speak the word over my life. I'll begin to prophesy, begin to preach. I begin to do things that I know to do when I'm well. I couldn't do all of that because of the fact I had all these wires on me. So if I can go from the bed to the chair, that's what I would do. If I can listen to some worship music, that's what I would do. If I could, sometimes I check my text messages from people sending certain things to me. That's what I would do. I'd check my emails. All of that stuff. I did what I knew to do if I was here at the office or what have you. And I actually got a confession to make. When I was in there, I said, and I talked about, I couldn't even say the number one on there. I called up, I think it was Bill Winston Ministries. And what do you need prayer for? I couldn't even get that out. And I think I was like, lungs. And I just got the word lungs out there. Like, you need new lungs? I said, yeah. They said, COVID? I said, yes. And so they prayed over me. My goodness. You know that's straight out of the pit of hell. COVID. Mm-hmm. So we have these scriptures here. Let's go through a few of them. I told my wife we were going to say all 101 because I haven't been through all 101 until this morning. But we're going to, let's just go through 10. We can all say it together. All right, you ready? Number one. Ready? Read. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. Your days shall be 120 years. Genesis 6:3. You shall be buried in a good old age. Genesis 15:15. You shall come to your grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in its season. Job 5:26. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Exodus 12:13. I will take sickness away from the midst of you, and the number of your days I will fulfill. Exodus 23:25-26. I will not put any of the diseases you are afraid on you, but I will take away sickness away from you. Deuteronomy 7:15. It will be well with you, and your days shall be multiplied and prolonged as the days of heaven upon the earth. Deuteronomy 11:9-21. I turn the curse into a blessing unto you because I loved you. Deuteronomy 23:5 and Nehemiah 13:2. I have redeemed you from every sickness and every plague. Deuteronomy 28:61 and Galatians 3:13. So I sat and listened to all of that and just came into an agreement. One thing I knew when I was in IC, I never feared dying. I never feared that I wasn't going to make it out. That was a place that I knew, that was a ground that there was going to be no griping and complaining. So when nurses would come in, physical therapists would come in, respiratory therapists would come in, and anything that they done to help me out, I always told them thank you. Thank you. When I would go from my bed to the chair, and I'm trying to catch my breath, breathe in deep, because I was a mouth breather. I didn't breathe through my nose, and they had to teach me how to. I'm 45 years old and they got to teach me how to breathe through my nose and take deep breaths and stuff like that. And Kristen's like, even today, I said, breathe. When you're walking, breathe. Right? That's like, because sometimes I just get up and walk. I'm not thinking about breathing. That should be natural. But now I got to. So in between those, I would be like, they had told me that my condition was stable and it can go either way. Now I have my phone and it's got the Bible app on it, but it's not a Bible. So I told my wife, I text, I said, bring my Bible. Being on about 115 liters of oxygen, I got two masks on me. and it was like in mid-90s. They needed to be 97 before they can turn it down and get me off some of the liters of oxygen. Once I started reading my word, reading the word, it stayed at 100 for quite some time. And I was like, okay, let's get it. And then every sometimes I'll be worshiping. And I'll just, Kristen was sitting there, I thank God. I'm sitting there just jamming out, just stayed at 100. Then they came and just kind of bumped it down a little bit. All right, you're doing good. You're doing good. Do you want to add?
So when he got admitted to the hospital, like, I knew it was COVID. I'm embarrassed to say, but I watch a lot of TikTok. And there's a lot of people on there that were telling, like, their side. Like, when they get to the hospital, they'll be in PCU. They'll move them to ICU. It's just the protocol. So I kind of knew in my head maybe the steps that they would take at Hayes Med, but I was so thankful he was there because I was tired. I knew they were going to be watching him. I knew that they were taking care of him so I could rest. And I didn't test for COVID, but the day I took him, I completely lost all my taste and smell. So I was like, oh.
That's the only thing I didn't lose.
Yeah, that's the only thing he didn't get. That's what I got.
Yeah.
And then I was just physically exhausted. Like, just going downstairs to do my laundry was a lot. So my mom had a Faith Confessions book, which is what I have here. And so I got right into that, and I was like, okay, here I go. I got to start somewhere because it's just been us at our house since, like, May, which is weird. Like, our house is quiet, and Tim sits in one room, I sit in the other. We kind of make fun of each other and then go on our day. And so I was by myself, and it was weird for the first time in however many years. I was at home by myself, and I didn't want to be around my kids because I knew I had COVID. And so so I just started writing, like, my confessions, like, Tim won't get pneumonia. Tim's lungs will start to function. Tim's heart rate will lower. And so I had all these things. Well, then I went through the Bible and found every scripture I could on healing. And so I have them all written down. So each time I'd find one, I'd go read it. And then I just kind of went back and forth. Well, then after I finally got out of quarantine, I came to church, and my dad had given a word to me. And so I went back and watched it, and I wrote it down. And Ethan had COVID as well. And so, but his was very mild, I think. The last line was, the enemy has a different plan, but my plan will prevail, says the Lord. So then I looked up prevail, and it says more powerful than the opposing forces. So I was like, oh. Yeah, I was like, he's going after Tim. He's going after our family. And so I just kept on these faith confessions. And so I have pages of them. And then I would call to check on him, and it would be like, oh, he's not doing so good today. And people would text me and say, hey, how's Tim? And I'm like, I haven't checked yet. Like, I didn't want to call because I didn't want to hear what they had to say. And I remember listening to Belinda talk, and she talked about negative truths. Like, it's negative, but it's what's happening. And so I was, in everything in me, I was like, I don't want to call. I don't want to call. And then when I did call, they're like, he's in ICU. Let me try. And so I was like, they didn't even call me to tell me he went to ICU. And so, so they called, and then at that point in time, he was on that BPAP machine, and so he had that and then a face mask, and so he couldn't talk. So I was like, as long as I can communicate with him through text, we're good. And so I told my dad, I said, because the last time I talked to a nurse, their statement was, we're so concerned, we don't know if his heart will keep up. And so I was like, well, that's not my confession. And so I didn't call back. After that, I didn't call back. I said, I'm not calling back. As long as I can communicate with him, I'm not going to call back because I don't want the negative side of it. One time, I had the thought, like, I'm 44. I should not be a widow at 44. But then I was like, well, that's not my thought. He's not going to die. And after that, I never felt like that was what was going to happen. I knew Tim would come out of it. I didn't know it was going to take 5 weeks in the hospital for him to come home, but it was definitely a time where I woke up, turned on worship music. I know what to do. I watched my parents, and so it was hard for me to, like, I'm fighting for him is what I felt. And I was thankful to have the faith and the word in me that my parents and had instilled in me. And Tim, when I'd say, I don't feel good, is that your confession? No, but that's how I feel. Just let me say it, you know. And so I felt like not alone, but at home I felt very alone because I was by myself. My boys all came to eat with me one night, and so I texted him. I was like, the boys are all here. And then Tasai was playing volleyball. We were supposed to go on our vacation together, and he was in the hospital. And so Tim's like, you can go. I'm like, I'm not going without you. So we canceled our trip to Arizona. And so anyway, it was just one of those things where I was not tested, but I was tested on how my faith was going to be and how strong I was going to be to stand for Tim and with Tim. And so I just kept going back to faith. I had another lady that her husband was in ICU in Pratt, and we were communicating, and he was on a ventilator, and I just kept feeding her like the scriptures I had and told her to do a faith confession and like just stand on it and don't veer off of it, because at that point in time, that's all I knew what to do. I was getting messages from people in our church, which was awesome, because there were days like I was struggling, and then I'd get a message, and I'd be like, and then I'd send it to Tim. I'm like, hey, look what so-and-so sent. And so it was awesome because a lot of people in the church just kept us lifted up, and my dad daily would text. I think I'd got lots of texts from Brandon in the mornings checking on Tim and stuff, and it was just, it helped. And then I had to keep his mom up to date. And so I had text her one morning about the holes in his lungs, which I don't know. So his brother called me and said, please don't text my mom. She's bawling and stuff. And so he said, call me if anything like that happens. I said, well, nothing more is going to happen. Like, we're done with this. And so so I was kind of trying to tell people, but then it's like one of those things, too, where it's like, how are you presenting it? Because you don't want to say, well, Tim's not doing well. You can't say, you don't want to confess that. And so I just start saying, he's good. Like, Tim's good. And so that's what I stood on. And I didn't call the hospital anymore. I refused. And so I just stayed in contact with him. And then I got to take him his Bible. And he was in ICU. And so he needed a couple other things. And so I dropped it off at the ICU desk and I left. And the lady was like, Kristen, do you want to see him? And I was like, yeah. Because it'd been like 19 days maybe. And so I could go to the glass door, and he was sitting there, and he didn't see me at first, and I could see him breathing so hard, and I was like, okay. And then he looked at me, and he's like waving me, and I'm like, I can't come in. So I just waved at him, and then I left, and I bawled.
I lost.
And he cried.
Yeah.
And then, but there were many times I've been to that hospital a lot with my mom, and I would drive, and I would just park, and I would like listen to worship music, and I would just pray. And I had to change my prayer. I felt like I went from begging God to save him to thanking God for saving him. And I feel like that was my big thing that I realized. Like, it already says in the Bible that he's healed. So where is my faith? Like, if I'm going to keep begging God to heal him, I'm not believing what his word's saying. And so that was the biggest thing for me. It was like I had to change my ways to thank God. I had to thank God for saving Tim and him coming out of the hospital and us having lots of grandkids and, you know, doing that kind of stuff. And I had to picture that because at that point in time, it was hard. So
yeah. It's a whole lot different when you're on the outside looking in. And I'm on the inside and I'm in the middle of it. But you know what? I was calm. Thankful for all this. I mean, you get the text from Brandon and Belinda and people from FCF church and stuff. And, man, it's unreal. I don't know if you guys remember the high winds that we had here in Hayes in December. Right. I said, we lost power in our house and stuff. But I was just thanking God. I was sitting there with my portable oxygen tank. You know, if I'm on the other one, of course, it's hooked up to electricity, and then Kristen wheels out the portable tanks and stuff like that. So I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm just playing solitaire, prayed a little bit, slept a little bit. All that ruckus is going on the outside, but inwardly, in my house, I was calm. And that's the way it was in the ICU. I didn't know the magnitude of listening to other people's testimonies that knew me and things of that nature. One of the ladies, I think William knows, that helped me out. She was telling her husband that I might die. I never heard that. I never even thought it. I never considered it. Because I knew I was coming out. I just didn't know when.
And when they wanted to put him on a ventilator, they called me after he had said no to try to get me to convince him to go on a ventilator. And the one thing I told him when he went to the hospital, I was like, do not let them put you on a ventilator. Because I had seen 80% of people that are put on ventilators don't come off of them. And I didn't want to be a statistic. I didn't want him to be a statistic. So I was like, so the lady said, well, if his heart stops, we're going to have to put him on a ventilator. I said, if that is your only option, we will go with it. But at this point in time, he's breathing on his own. We're going to try that out.
Yeah.
So
they kept trying to push that. I was like, no.
Yep.
Nope. I'm not doing it. So I was blessed to have a few respiratory therapists that I knew. There was one guy, his name was Josh, and he came in and, you know, he was, you know, checking the fluids and stuff like that. And then he went out and I heard him saying, talking to another nurse. He goes, you know that guy right there? Man, he made some of the best barbecue. This 15 years ago that I had done barbecue. And he's over here. I was like, Josh? He's like, yeah, man. Hayes Daly? Yeah, he worked. I hired the guy. And he's, man, we're going to get you out of here. We're going to get you going and everything else. I said, and he was just pumped to just, I mean, of course, they work, you know, 3 days on, 3 days off, stuff like that. So I rarely saw him. And, you know, and Russell Tome came in and said some good things. Jason Livesey, that goes to church here. You know, they came in and just said some good things to me as well. And all the nurses, I'm just thankful for the staff that helped me out. If they be watching, I'm just very thankful for them. So I ended up going to the physiologist, trying to convince the doctor. I said, come on, man, you gotta get me here. I'm over here trying to, this is like towards the last couple of days. And he goes, well, you haven't really gone yet. I said, look, my oxygen level's down a little bit more. And then they finally got me to the PCU. And, there was a guy by the name of Dave Fowler. He came and preached here in 2020 and Deb's son-in-law. And I remember him texting me, what is it you need? And I said, new lungs. And he prayed that day. And I think that day I dropped, 50 liters that day? And that was a blessing right there. And so I was like under 10 for quite some time and stuff. And I needed to be under like 5 in order to go home and things. But there was one morning that I got up, moved from the bed, kind of felt woozy, and then went to the chair and I sat down, and then I just began spinning like out of control, like just my mind. I was, the room is just going all over the place. Then they ended up taking me in and had me do an MRI and all that stuff. And came back, you know, negative. So got back in and I said, it was kind of a scare, another little setback. I said, no, that's not going to happen. Can't happen again like that. I'm not going back to the ICU. I'm here in the PCU. But the last couple of days in the hospital, I'm just thankful I got a wife that doesn't back down. I mean, she was there. I was getting a little annoyed. She goes, yeah, I'll be there in the morning and stuff around 9. I'm sitting
while
here waiting.
Still
on, yeah, while still
yeah.
working and stuff. She was doing that and she couldn't get there any quicker. I'm like, come on. What's going on? Why? How come you're not here? I need you here. And so I was getting a little upset that she wasn't there on time, like, or even earlier because she needed to see me. Well, I had some errands to run. I said, yeah, right. But I can recall, that was the first time I ever let somebody touch my feet in the hospital. And she can attest to that. When we used to be dating, my door that I would go and open it is downstairs. And so if I open it up barefoot, I would just run up the stairs so she wouldn't see my feet. And I said, so they were giving me feet rubs. And there was this guy by the name of Mark. I'm serious. Another hard thing was for me was laying on my stomach. They call it proning. And I don't want to lay on my stomach because when I was at home, whenever I lay on my stomach, I end up with my face in the pillow. So I don't want that to happen in the hospital. So it was hard for me to lay on my stomach, but when you do, your lungs are breathing. It's hard to explain, but it helps you out to breathe a whole lot better than laying on your back. So when I laid on my stomach, that began to change. And so I would have this guy, Mark, don't make fun of me now. He would come in and just rub my back. I said, dude, can you rub my back? Yeah. And he started rubbing my back. I said, oh, that feels so good. I feel so good. So I was over here requesting. I was like, is Mark here? Anytime I would get on my stomach, I said, I have to get on my stomach. I said, is Mark working? No. I said, all right, I ain't getting on my stomach. I'll lay on my side. If Mark's here, I'll get on my stomach. So I know that's weird, but my goodness, it felt good. I said, there was one particular night. There's one particular night that I was laying on my stomach and then I went on my side. And anytime that I would use the bathroom, my oxygen level would drop. And, you know, and the doctors had to tell me, don't be anxious. I said, yeah, that's in the Bible. You're right. That's in the Bible. And I don't know what I was being anxious about, but my oxygen level would just drop just using the bathroom. And this one time I laid on my side and I was using the bathroom because I was laying on my stomach, went to my side. Oxygen dropped about 64 and about four or five people came in. And one guy in particular said, you're going to die. And I looked right back at him. I said, I'm not going anywhere and I will live and not die. And then he began slowly backing out of there. And then the head dude that was there, I think his name was Trey, said, yeah, we don't really need that right now. So they were just awesome. I mean, cleaned me up and everything else and stuff. And that was another thing. I just didn't like using the bathroom in front of other people. I said, yeah, leave the room, please. And that was just a mental struggle for me. I just couldn't do it. I didn't want to do it. Kristen didn't like the fact that I brought the little jug home with me. I said, babe, do you know how demoralizing it is to do it on yourself or what have you? And I may not be able to get to the bathroom on time or what have you. So I didn't want you to have to clean stuff up. So, all right. Yeah. But getting out of there was one of the best things ever. I didn't walk out the way I wanted to walk out, but they wheeled me out and stuff and walked to the car. But I just knew it wasn't, I mean, the fight was done, but I mean, there was still some things that I had to overcome even at home. And so we're at the house. It was a challenge for her to get me to get up and move. I'd sit on the couch all day. Until somebody hit my truck 3 days after I got home. And she's like, somebody just hit your truck. And I just jumped up and it's like, not even thinking. I was like, you know, thinking hopefully that they're okay or something like that and stuff. So, but I couldn't drive it anyway at that time, but I would be laying on the couch and then just laying down and sitting up. My oxygen would go from 95 to 70. So I have to sit there and get my breath, and then when I'm trying to get my breath, then I have to use the bathroom. Well, I can't use the bathroom at that time because I'm still trying to get my breath. So once I get my oxygen back up to 90, I can get up and go to the bathroom, and then couldn't leave until my oxygen level was. I was like, so it was like that for many, many days and
months.
Well, you go right ahead.
It was a long time. It, I mean. Yeah, it was a long time, and just getting him to want to move to do his lung things that he was supposed to do. Now, I remember my mom, and my mom would not do stuff for my dad. So the last 3 months of her life, I went and hung out with her because she would do it for me. And so my dad was like, please come help me. So I would. So I'm like, okay, my kids are going to have to come help me because Tim will not do it for me. And so just this little machine, he's supposed to blow in 30 times, 4 times a day. I'd be like, did you do it? Not yet. Okay. And then to get him to get up, he wouldn't lay on his stomach. You're supposed to do that when you get home. And I had Russell Tome like message me and say, get him on his stomach, get him on his stomach. He won't do it. Like, he would not do it. And so I was like, okay. We got a futon, and I had the futon so he could lay on his stomach, because it was the futon he had in his office at the church that he would lay on his stomach and read his Bible. And so I'm like, okay, we'll bring that home. So I load it up, bring it home. And then one night he did it. I think it was like the first night. And then wouldn't do it after that. And just getting him to move from the couch to a chair, to a chair to the couch, like I'd have to move everything over to his, a lot of stuff. Had to move over to a table and stuff. And so, and it was every day for a long time. So then Tasai is in the middle of volleyball season, so I want to go watch her. So I'm hiring my boys to come babysit their dad so I could go.
Man sit
their dad, because I knew I couldn't leave him, but I also didn't want to miss Tasiah's stuff. And so it was a juggling act that we do as moms our whole lives, except this time I was taking care of Tim and not one of my kids. And so it was a long time. And even just getting him to a doctor's appointment, like we had to take oxygen, we had to get a wheelchair, and I had to wheel him up to the doctor's appointment and wheel him out. And so it's been a lot. But then when we went to the lung specialist at the end of December, he walked in and he walked out, and that lung doctor was so excited to see him. He just was like, Tim. He's like, remember I threatened the ventilator? And so, but I had a couple ICU nurses tell me, him saying no saved his life, saying no to that ventilator. And that was the check we had, both of us, going into it. And one of the first couple, probably the first week at night, I didn't sleep because I was watching him as if he was my baby, you know, and I'd see his oxygen drop, and I'd check his oxygen when he was sleeping really good and it would be high, and then he'd wake up and move and it'd drop to like the 60s. And then I'd start crying because I'm like, I don't want you to go back, but I can't do this. Like, it was, back to my faith confessions, you know, like Tim's lungs will start functioning on their own. If the devil can get you scared, he has your emotions, then he can work. And so that was the one thing I had to just stay out of fear. And it was, even when he was home and I saw him and saw how hard it was for him to do the little things, I just had to keep waiting for the day where he could get up and go to the bathroom on his own, or get up and go get a bottle of water out of the fridge.
Well, they didn't like that.
Yeah, and so it was just little things that I would gradually see he was doing on his own. And so it was great to see, but also I know Tasiah would come home and she'd be like, every time I go through the living room, Dad asks me to do something. I'm like, thank you for a little bit of relief. Because when something like that happens, you really, what are your wedding vows? You know, and it took us a whole new level in our relationship. I've never touched his feet. And for hours in the hospital, I rubbed his feet for hours. And I was like,
felt so good.
And his oxygen would stay high. Every time I'd go in, it'd be low, and I'd rub his feet and it'd be at like 98. And I'm like, okay, really? Like, we're doing this. And then we'd get home and his oxygen would drop. He'd be like, you know, if you'd rub my feet. So we did that a lot. But, yeah, so, I mean, it does. It takes you to a whole different level. I don't want to do it again.
Like, no.
That's but just... I would, you know, because that's what you're supposed to do. And so it's just one of those things where I was thankful that I was feeling better by the time he got home, because I laid on my couch for about 2 weeks because I was exhausted from what I had. But it was very minor compared to what Tim had, so... And it was really good the day I was supposed to be able to see him, they hadn't lifted precautions. So I went up there, and they still had a big sign on the door and the gowns and the gloves and all that stuff. And so I got there, and they're like, you can't go in yet. The doctors hadn't lifted the precautions. So I had to text them. I was like, they won't let me in. And so he's like, just come in anyway. Like, I can't. Like, they're not going to let me. So that night at, like, 8:30, the doctor came in and lifted all precautions. So he texted me. He's like, hey, you can come in. I'm like, I'm not coming tonight. Like, I'll come tomorrow. So I – but when I saw him, it was awesome. It was a good moment to, like, actually see him face-to-face and be able to hug him. And I think we both cried for a while. And but, yeah, it was good.
Yeah. So I remember one of the things he said, you know, if you were to – preach a message today, what would it be? What would it be on? What would be the title? I said, God's faithfulness. Amen. You know, he's never, ever let me down. And I think everyone can say the exact same thing. But God's faithfulness, through it all, it's been top notch. I mean, just being, just the expectation of my grandson coming. There was one particular morning where they were, it was Thanksgiving, right? Yeah, he was born on Thanksgiving. And so I'm already up. I was up at 3 o'clock, you know. And then I think we get the call. Kristen got the call around 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Text me.
Text?
Yeah.
Okay, that Isaiah was running from Jetmore to Hayes and stuff, doing about 100 and something. But, and I go, I said, you know, the last time there was a Thanksgiving baby, it was a matter baby. And she goes, a matter baby? What's a matter baby? I said, nothing, baby. What's the matter with you? And she was like, no, whatever. I said, well, I've been up since 3, so I had that on my mind. I've been waiting to get that into a conversation, so... But we are so thankful for all the prayers, all the text messages, the emails from everyone. I mean, I have people in California praying, and I don't know how long, but your time was not spent in prayer was not in vain. I'll tell you that much, because I'm a living testimony. So I wouldn't care to go back to the hospital ever again. I think the last time I've been there was when I was 3. So a 42-year hiatus from that.
Yeah, I think I'm good. One time, I think the last time he was at a hospital in Hayes was like 2002.
Yeah, spider bite or something like that.
So he had not been in the system. So that tells you.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid the system. I don't want to be in there. Hey, they know me. No, you don't. Off the grid. That's where I want to be. That's why. But I'm so thankful for you all. God is doing an awesome work, and I can't wait to fully get on out there. And I believe that next week is just going to be something different, because we're going to pick up where we left off. Amen. Part of it is it's just getting every believer in here. And I know you already believe what you believe based upon the word of God, but it's get you bold in every which way. Well, how can you do that when you went through that? I said, well, I remember telling Pastor Charlie, I said, I'm just at the enemy's camp and I'm taking back what he stole from me. And, we're coming out of that, and everyone who's affected by that, we just believe that God's best is going to be for them. So you got to raise up believers that will stand on the word of God and not ever, ever back down. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for all you've done, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. And we just believe that people got something out of us today, and how you are a healer. You've always been a healer and always will be, Lord, and good things come from you. Lord, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to our testimony. Amen. Amen. We'll see you Wednesday. Come on out Wednesday night. You got Wednesday night Bible study? It's pretty good. I let you talk. I actually let you talk. So you can say something. I know Pastor West don't like everything. No, it's fine. You can talk.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.